I'm Steve Cole. This is KDNK Carbondale. New regulations on how much natural gas can be vented, flared, or leaked will finally go into effect, at least for now. Eric Galantis reports.
New BLM rules limiting natural gas waste on federal and tribal lands will go into effect after a federal judge in Wyoming blocked efforts by industry groups to stop the measure on Monday. Gwen Lackalt, a La Plata County Commissioner, calls the decision a temporary reprieve and says the rules could still be stripped through the Congressional Review Act.
It would be unconscionable for Congress to intervene. We have worked for years to get this rule to protect air quality and also to protect the American taxpayer.
Three states and industry groups have filed suit to reverse the rules, claiming the BLM has overstepped its authority to regulate air quality. In denying the injunction request, the U.S. District Court for Wyoming affirmed the BLM's authority to prevent waste of publicly owned resources. The Western Energy Alliance says it's confident that after considering the full merits of the case, the court will side with industry. Lackalt says on federal and tribal lands alone, the U.S. loses more than $330 million worth of natural gas each year. She says states and counties can't collect royalties on it if the gas isn't captured and brought to market.
We use revenues from oil and gas development to fund everything from emergency services, our public schools, to roads and bridges, the critical infrastructure that every community relies upon.
But industry groups argue that the costs of capturing methane outweigh the benefits. Lackalt disagrees.
Many of these fixes are as simple as tightening or replacing a valve. The vast majority of inspections have shown that the costs involved are very minimal.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
Lawmakers have already introduced over 200 bills this legislative session. Benta Brooklyn talked to State House reporters about the first wave of bills in this week's Capitol conversation.
Joining me, we have Joey Bunch, a reporter with ColoradoPolitics.com, and Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press. Kristen, a lot of bills so far and still a lot more to come throughout the session.
There's one big theme in our state and every state, which is a big question mark over our new president, about how states are going to have to respond. So one of the first priorities for our Senate Republicans here is to repeal the health care exchange. This is how people shop for insurance under Obamacare. Republicans want to undo it. They're going to run into a big brick wall on the other side. Nobody's surprised that we all have to just sit and wait to find out what we do.
One of the issues that this comb-over tsunami could bring, though, is hundreds of billions of dollars for transportation money. And I think one of the things that legislators in this building agree on is this is a session that they have to find solutions on how to fund transportation. How we get there, though, is still a big question mark.
Do you expect it'll be quite a bit later into the session when we actually see some substantive proposals from each side?
Well, it depends. You know, if they're going to take a lot of money out of the state budget, then we're going to have to hear those things in March. If they're going to refer a ballot measure to the voters in November, which I think we will, I think we'll see a combination of those two things. That may fall on the last day of the session. It just depends on how much of the legislators want to fight about transportation.
There is a really interesting bill about marijuana that would allow marijuana pot clubs statewide, and it would say that they could be exempt from the Clean Indoor Air Act if they had proper ventilation. It has Republican and Democrat sponsors. Everybody seems to think it doesn't stand a chance this year, but that talk about public use is going to not go away. We have not seen yet, though, these attempts to crack down on what the governor calls the gray market, cracking down on marijuana caregivers. We haven't seen those bills yet.
Keeping with that theme of vice, we've seen a couple of bills on liquor again this session. Representative Steve Lebsack has a bill that would allow local government, you know, cities, counties, to set closing time at their bars. Now, that came up a couple of years ago, and Cassandra Duran, who's now the House Speaker, she carried that bill, but it got so larded up with amendments that it didn't pass. And we have another bill that would allow restaurants and hotels to sell bottles of wine, which I'm surprised that they can't already. I'm also surprised that we spend so much time still talking about liquor laws.
And then there's a lot of bills that we've had these themes before and they may not pass. One of them, guns in schools and allowing teachers or other personnel to be trained and carry a firearm. It's going to come through the Republican-controlled Senate.
Sure, Republicans say this is a new thing, that it would not really allow more guns in schools. What it really aims to do is to better train security guards and people that can have guns now on campus. Of course, there is a caveat in there that also your staff, teachers, crossing guards, even cafeteria ladies, could be some of these people that get the additional training. And Republicans have a fair point. They say Democrats who oppose guns in schools always say that there's not proper training.
Thanks. That was Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press and Joey Bunch with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Local podcast producer Hamilton Pivek contributed the following feature about the Women's March in Carbondale this past Saturday.
On January 21st, the day after Inauguration Day, millions of people took to the streets of this nation to show their support for women all across the world. The small mountain town of Carbondale, Colorado, was no exception.
I'm Maura Masters, and I'm the editor of Alice the Mag. It's an online magazine for, by, and about women. And we're supporting the global movement of women today here in Carbondale, doing our own part to keep things moving, keep the awareness up, and, you know, put women, who are half the population, at the forefront. You know, I can't believe that we're still marching for equal rights 50, 60 years later. It's crazy.
Did you expect this many people? Or
no, I can't even see the end of the line. It's amazing.
We gathered under the banner of women's rights and equality, but really, we are raising our voices for all people, everywhere. It was a diverse group, and I wanted to hear from the people. John Masters.
All of us, everyone, I mean, this is focused on women, but it's about making sure that we secure our rights for everyone.
Elaine Pevick.
I am marching for human dignity and decency everywhere so that people feel safe being who they are, where they are, and they can work for the things they know that their community needs, for everyone to have health care and enough food and freedom of movement and freedom of belief.
I spoke to 8-year-old Anna Sophia Brown. Even a child can understand this situation.
Anna Sophia, why are you marching today?
Because I want equal rights.
Did your mom tell you to say that?
No.
Ayanna Pevick Brown.
She was all fired up. She has been so tuned into this very challenging political situation. And she, the morning of the election, woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and felt devastated that Trump had been elected. And she said, because he said that flat-chested women are not beautiful, and how can a person like that be president?
The group of about 700 people walked from the Goat Restaurant, south on Highway 133, to the roundabout and then back, courteously staying on the sidewalk and allowing traffic to pass.
Where's the end? I can't see the end.
There is no end!
There is no end. This is endless.
There was a lot of buzz online about these pussy hats. I found Felicia Trevor Gallo and Catherine Rushton to ask about them.
Does your headgear represent your genitalia?
Of course.
Oh. No, it's just a cute little kitty.
Oh, because mine does.
Oh, right. Of course. Pussy cats. Full disclosure, my hat looks like a silver bullet. The smiling faces, some familiar and some not, and the plethora of clever signs raised my already high feeling for this community.
My name is Kat Rich. My community has compelled me to stand up for everyone's rights as human beings and for what is socially conscious and to keep our society moving forward.
I don't know if we're going forward, but this will help.
Well, I think it takes some momentum from the community level, and this is a great community to be a part of, and we're fortunate that we have such a strong bond of social justice and forward motion.
As a member of a multicultural family in a diverse and often divided town, a sense of unity can be more powerful than any kind of hate the government or media institutions can drudge up.
Okay, tell me your name and why you decided to come here and drag your husband along as well.
Well, he walked voluntarily. My name is Katia Curvelo, and my husband is Jan Emsing. I decided to walk because it's my right as a citizen, and it's my right as a woman, and I want the peaceful assemblies.
Did you really come here voluntarily?
I did. She dragged me down.
No, I invited him.
I'm here on my own volition. I think it's really key on so many fronts. The majority of people in the United States didn't vote for this president. They didn't vote for the ideologies that he represents. The center, the left, even people mid-right needed any impetus to wake up. it's going to take a whole lot of work to undo the next 4 years. It would have been much easier just for the other half Americans who don't vote to have gotten off their asses and voted.
I think it is important to raise your voice and to take to the streets. But the more cynical side of me feels that there are more effective ways to organize. Fortunately, communities like Carbondale are organizing beyond protesting. There was a follow-up meeting for all the social justice NGOs. The meeting was organized by Alen Pevic. Full disclosure, she is my mother.
Of what's being done in Carbondale already to address social justice issues, everything from health care to immigration, homelessness, all of the different issues that are important to us as a community. And it's an opportunity for people who are engaged in those organizations offering different services to tell us about them. It's an opportunity to identify something that you're aware of that is not being addressed in any way that we need to be aware of. And also, there are cards here. If anybody wants to write a note to your congressman or senator, and I will be glad to mail them on Monday.
What's clear to me now is that these Americans and our immigrant friends will not stand by complacent. The message, we are all in this together, and you are not alone.
Thank you to community member Hamilton Pevic for sharing his work with KDNK. Hamilton's podcast, American Immigrant, is available on SoundCloud and iTunes.